Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to The Darker Side of Romance. This is your host, Rhonda Connell, and tonight's guest is Amy Olinger. Good evening, Amy.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. I'm so glad you came back on the show tonight. And I think we're going to be talking about your new release, but first, I know you've been on before, but maybe people haven't heard that show. So could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started writing?
I'm a mother of three, still live in my small hometown. And I've always loved reading since I was really small. And when I was in middle school, well, going into high school, I thought they consolidated. So we ended up going to a totally different school in middle school. And so I started writing short stories and stuff to kind of kill some of the depression from having to be transferred to a totally different thing. And that's where it all started. So.
Kind of give us a little bit about how you write. What's your writing process? Do you write just in the evenings, in the early mornings? You just kind of, does it vary, you know, just whenever you get a chance to grab a minute to write?
Usually I write late at night when everybody else is asleep and it's easier to focus. But sometimes I'll write during the day while the kids are in school, or it's just whenever if I get to thinking, the little hamster in my brain starts going, you know, I have to write it down. Because if I don't, I'll forget by the time I drag out my computer later.
So you keep a notepad and a pen beside you at all times?
My laptop and my notebook. So I have a bad habit of, when I go to bed, I'll be laying there thinking of a scene before I go to sleep, and I'm like, oh, I'll remember this by morning. No, that never happens. So I need to take me a notebook in my bedroom.
And I know I've told this story a thousand times, but I sleep with a notebook and a pen, and my husband's always been, you're going to stab one of us in the middle of the night with that pen. And then whenever I get up in the middle of the night and have a good idea and jot it down by in the morning, you know, when I'm trying to read it, I'm like, what is this? You can't read what I've written.
Yeah, because I lay my glasses off, clear across the room. So I would have to get up, get my glasses, put them on, and then sit back down and write whatever. So I might as well just get up and...
You might be awake enough to write a novel by that time.
Yeah, really. I mean, so I'm blind as a bat without my glasses. So whatever I would write down without them, if I would write something without them, I'd be like, what? Is that Chinese? Or no.
I don't recognize this. Well, when you write, are you a pantser or an outliner? Do you I'm a pantser. I cannot outline because I feel like when I outline, I've already written the story.
Yeah, I'm a pantser too. I tried outlining the next novel that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I've got the outline in a separate Word program than the actual what I'm writing. So outlines just don't work.
I feel trapped.
Yeah,
and
I feel constricted in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So do you let your characters lead the way?
Yep. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah. I have a strange question. Well, it's probably not a strange question to a writer, but do you hear the voices, you know? Do they nag at you sometimes and they just don't quit until you sit down and write what they're telling you? I mean,
they do that a lot when I'm trying to go to sleep.
is the way I
and I'll have to get up and come in here, open up my laptop and just write it down, or my notebook. I have a 5-subject notebook that I have a ton of notes in from this novel. So
that's when I write, I have I get so into it that the characters, I just let them lead the way, and they introduce, I started with two characters in one scene, and from those two characters, they kept introducing more and more characters, and by the end of every book I've written, I don't know how it ends until I get to the end, and the characters are like, okay, this is how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
If you're surprised, your readers are going to be surprised.
Exactly.
So what made you decide to write this genre? Because you write like a dark romance type, obviously, you're on the darker side of romance, but what led you, is this what you like to read, is this, or do you write other genres?
I write other genres too. I have a YA novel that I'm working on too, and it's sort of sci-fi, I think, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I just write whatever whim comes to me, because I got some greedy stuff too, and some stuff that children shouldn't read. And
do you have anything that children should read?
That one story I let you read that you said would make a great children's story if I wasn't
yes.
I don't think kids could read that one, but it's technically a children's story.
It has a really creepy ending, though.
Yeah. I've changed it a little bit since you read it last.
It's like a true Grimm's fairy tale.
Yeah.
That part did take a hold of them. It made them all happy.
Yeah. There's a whole reason of why that happens to that person in that story. So
it teaches a lesson. I was going to ask you something. It was there and then it just disappeared. Okay, so if I ask you something totally off the wall, if you miss, you'll know that's because it came to me. Whatever it was, I was going to ask. It was related to this one. Oh, I know. I was going to ask you, do you see yourself writing children's stories ever in the future? Because I have, mine range from children's stories to horror and a little bit of sci-fi I've been working on, and then a little erotica. But do you see yourself doing any children's, or maybe erotica? Do you see yourself going from one extreme to the other anytime?
I may end up writing something erotica eventually, accidentally, because I've got one started that's going that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually like a murder mystery erotica type.
Right.
So, we'll see how that one goes.
That's a good twist.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, before you tell us about your newest book, tell us a little bit about prequels. And it's on sale, The First Life of Amelia Weston. It's on sale, Kindle.
It's 99 cents.
And how long will it be for 99 cents? Is that just to promote this?
It's probably just till the release of the new one, then it'll go back up at least to $1.99 or $2.99.
Okay.
I'm not for sure yet.
Okay. So give us a quick, down and dirty backstory of First Life of Amelia Weston to prep us for you to tell us a little bit about Dragonfly, Birthright, and the Magpie Cove, which is your new release.
Yes. You finally got the title right.
I did. just give us a little synopsis of Amelia Weston, The First Life of Amelia Weston.
Okay, let me go look that up because I don't remember it completely. Oh, I have so much stuff on my computer.
A new achievement. I just got one. My hubby bought me a new Apple. It's a MacBook Air.
It must be nice.
Write, thinking that if you're going to write, you need something good to write on, because my other one was not taped together. It was cracked so bad.
I know. I remember the last time I seen it. I'm like, how'd you not get electrocuted every time you plug it, you know, open that thing up?
Well, I took it to have my file transferred, and when I did, it ate up almost half of the drive, you know, with all my files. But they laughed. They said it was, you know, a dinosaur. I'm like, I know that. When they when they put it in notes, it says being held together by duct tape.
Well,
it had notes about the condition. I thought that was so funny. I'm like, not technically held together. It's just covering a couple of cracks to keep it from getting worse.
Yeah, well, you had to tape it where the plug-in was, wasn't it?
Yes, because we
had to keep
the port.
Yeah, you had to keep it taped. I don't know how you didn't get electrocuted. I mean,
yeah, we had didn't get cracked where the port was, the piece between the port and the next, whatever the next port was, the power port. We blew it because it touched something as we were plugging it in, and it blew the port. I'm like, I'm going to spend another $250 for another port. So we taped it.
No.
Touching anything.
Why can I not find the book blurb? There it is. Okay. Amelia Weston, she's a witch born with a dragonfly birthmark, or birthright birthmark, whichever way you want to say it. And it covers, like, the entire left side of her chest, and it overlaps over her shoulder and down, like halfway down her arm. And each witch and warlock has a different birthmark. And anyway, she goes through some struggles. Her parents are murdered, or well, they say this, the council says that they're not murdered, that it was all done by nature, and she knows differently. So, anyway, she goes through a bunch of stuff, and I know this is real vague, but she falls in love with a mortal man, marries him, and he dies within a year. And then she spends 50 years alone and have some flings in between there and gets with a man named Alexander Stone. Things happen to him. Bad things happen all around. So I don't know how to explain without giving away the ending.
I know it's hard to give an overview without giving away anything important.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, she's young in the first book, in the novella. When it starts out, she's in her early 20s, and she goes through all of her training, and by the end of the book, she's in her adulthood, and she's more mature and blah, 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 and all that. So she's trying to figure out, who murdered her parents, is really.
And then the Dragonfly Birthright, the Vampire Coven, is the sequel to this,
yes,
to the first life of Amelia Weston. So you guys, you're going to have to search. Give us an overview of that.
I already have it in the question.
Oh, you've already got
much.
It pulled up.
I was waiting on that one. I wasn't waiting on the other one.
A curveball, sorry. Okay,
yeah,
so the one you are prepared for, go ahead and tell us about it.
I'll read you the synopsis.
Okay.
All right, Amelia Weston, single mom extraordinaire, soon realizes after moving to the boonies, strange dreams and town full of weirdos is only the beginning. When her new boss, a wealthy bachelor with magnetic blue-green eyes and tortured past, tells her she is a 16th century witch descendant. She fights with her own sanity to discover the truth about her past and attempts to define the meaning in her dreams, filled with witches, vampires, spirits, and other things that make you want to sleep with your clothes on. I like that line.
Okay. Now, in the first life of Amelia Weston, that's not her name in the first book, right?
Nope.
Okay.
That is her name. She is Amelia Weston.
In the first book as well?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For some reason, I thought it was different.
No.
Not before. I don't know why I thought that was different. Oh, well.
Anyway.
Okay, so Okay, Dragonfly Birthright and the Vampire Coven is going to be released on Halloween Day, right?
Yes. Okay. Yep, it's up to you.
And will there be another one? Will this be an ongoing series for a while, or is this going to be the only two?
I have one more planned, and it's according to how fast I get it written, whatever. I'm about 4,000 words in, but I've got 3 more stories lined up, too. So, I don't know. But, yes, I've got another one planned.
But you've got works in progress in front of the next one.
Yes.
Other things, other projects.
Yeah, I try to work, I'll get bored of one story or another character will nag at me, and I'll have to go in and write that story. So it's according to who's nagging at me that day.
I know what you mean. I do the same thing. You'll be writing on 3 or 4 different books at one time, and it's whatever you're inspired or whoever is talking to you that day is who you have to write about. What you have
yep.
to write. It's funny.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask you something different. Another curveball. But have you written or have plans to write anything that is nonfiction?
No. My life is too boring to write about. So, I like living in my fantasy worlds.
I know what you mean. It's more fun to write. That's my husband likes to watch realistic movies. Sniper was one of them. And he wanted me to go, and I'm like, no, I don't want to see depressing realistic movies. I don't want to go get lost in fantasy land because I live in everyday, depressing news, on. So, and I never watch news. I never read the newspaper. I don't want to know what's going on. It's better to be oblivious.
Yes, especially the debate.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Not going there.
Well, my hubby, he keeps up on the news and all that. And I sit in the living room a lot, and he sits in the other room. He's got his own TV in there. All I hear is Donald Trump. I'm like, oh, God, no. Yeah.
It's like a dog and pony show, and I don't even want any. All right, for Amelia Weston and Dragonfly Birthright, where did the idea for the story come from?
I knew you was going to ask me that.
Or did Amelia Weston just start talking to you and say, hey, write this. This is me. I'm who this is, and you need to write my story. How did it come
I don't
to
want
you?
To sound like Stephanie Myers, but it's true. The story came to me in dreams.
I have done that. I have one book that I have started that I have not finished. Actually, I have two stories, two books, works in progress, that were snippets of a dream. It was just like a flash, just like a scene, a small scene.
Yes.
In the book is what I had, a dream that I had. So it started from a dream then. I don't know why writers do that.
But, I mean, Alexander, I would dream about him every night, different scenes of what was, what needed to be wrote in the book.
Oh, no, I have never gotten that lucky.
Yeah.
One scene to go by and build a book around it. They never come and tell me all of it.
When I was first starting to write the book, her daughter was talking to me more.
Mm-hmm.
And Danielle was like, Mom, the main character is Amelia. I'm like, I know, but I feel more connected to her daughter.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Like your protagonist, you need this person to be your protagonist, but then a side character is going, hey, I need to know.
Yeah, I'm supporting. Well, and then sometimes you get more information from the supporting character than you do from your main characters.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
But I mean,
strange.
I had to rewrite a lot of the story because it was turning out to where Kira had more of the spotlight than her mother.
Do you think you'll go back and write another small series in the daughter's point of view? The same story, but in her point of view?
Well, I could actually write a totally different story with that one. Like, you know what happens in the ending of the book.
Uh-huh.
To said person. Well, I could write her and a certain other person's point of view of what happens.
Uh-huh.
And then move forward from that.
That would be amazing. That would be something I would really like to read. That's a really, yeah, you should do that. You should definitely do that.
Let me get this other stuff done first before you make her start screaming at me again.
We're putting orders in. So, how long did it take you to write The First Life of Amelia Weston?
Okay. I started writing Dragonfly Birthright and The Vampire Coven first in February 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, she has such an incredible backstory. I need to write that. So I ended up writing that after I had half of the book written. I went back and wrote the backstory. And I thought, well, yeah. I thought, well, because I needed to know more about my characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I can't put that much of a backstory at the beginning of a book. Because people don't like a lot of backstory crammed, you know. So I made it its own entity. It's its own life.
Right.
And then.
And I totally understand that because with the Glasshouse Children of Ravenshire, I had a small chapter in the beginning of that book about the town of Ravenshire. But then I had a friend, a beta reader, read it for me, and she said, you really need to pull this chapter out and make it a book of its own and bring these characters to life because you're going to be talking about them in future books. So you really need to bring these characters forth and let people know more about them, you know, let them introduce themselves. So that's what I ended up doing with that one. And it ended up turning out to be really good. It turned out to be a very beneficial part of writing Glasshouse Children, and it's going to help with the other four books I have lined up. So I totally understand going back, because sometimes you have to. And so Dragonfly Birthright, how long did it take you to? I know you
started. Altogether, about 8 months for the novel and the novella. But that was just the first rough draft. It looked crappy.
Uh-huh.
I had to rewrite stuff and edits and all that. But sometime in 2015, I began querying to agents, and you know how that went. So,
I know the answer to this one. Well, no, I don't particularly. You said you don't think you'll ever do any nonfiction because you like reality. So did you do any research for this, or did you just totally, you know, make, like in Stephanie Meyer's Vampire's Glitter, but that's never been before. So she totally made that up. Do you have anything totally made up that doesn't go along with any myth or legend ever?
Yeah, mine's totally made up, but I did research like weird stuff, like maps, locations, how long it would take to get from point A to point B, car prices and models and telephones and just the mundane stuff of, like, putting stuff in there to give those characters ground, you know.
Right.
So.
How long did your research take?
A little bit here and there in between the writing.
Just whenever you got to the point to where you said, oh, crap, I need to research this.
Yeah.
And
my final edit that took me like 4 months to do when we first decided to publish it, I found 3 plot holes in my own book and had to fix them.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing what you find when you go back and reread. But do you find that you do this when you go back and reread? Do you kind of just glaze over it and you miss things that other people get and you're like, I read that like 20 times. How did I miss that?
Yeah, I've done that. But I've also.
Much.
Yeah, you read it so much, you think you know every little minute detail. But then it comes back to bite you in the butt when you're like, oh, I need to change that.
Yeah. That's what happens to have another editor look at it. It's like, hey, what's this?
That's what I got
I
you for. I do my own editing, but you got to read it, because if you don't, then there might be something blown away in there, you know.
It's always good to have a couple of beta readers and then an editor. I think it's very important to have other people read your work before it actually goes out.
Yeah, because you get so used to those words and you don't catch something.
It's like the story is memorized, so you're just kind of glazing over the words and you think you're reading it, but you don't really read it. Read
yeah.
it like you're supposed to.
Yep.
So, who are some of your favorite authors and some of your favorite books?
Like Edgar Allan Poe, Anne Rice, Stephanie Myers, Charlene Harris, Stephen King. A lot of Stephen King's books I've read. And, of course, the Twilight series is up there, and Anne Rice, Interview with a Vampire, you know, and I love the Sookie Stackhouse novels. I always like saying Sookie, Sookie, Sookie.
So I've never read any of those, and I've never read, I've never watched any of the series, but everybody says you need to read the books, and you really need to watch the series, because it's great, but I haven't.
Yeah,
but that's on my to-do list.
Does not follow the books.
Yeah, they typically never do.
But I'm just saying that's in a good way, too, because a lot of characters that you'll fall in love with in the show die in the books.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so when I first read the one where one of my favorite characters, he's the black gay guy. They call him Lala, but he's Lafayette.
Uh-huh.
He ends up dying in one of the books. And he's not dead in the series. And, you know, the shows. Yeah. So
definitely
spoiler
need
alert,
read the books
sorry.
First. Need to read the books first and then watch the series. And I'll be pleasantly surprised.
You
be
will,
like,
because...
that's not happening, but that's okay.
And it's the same way with Stephanie Myers' movies.
Right.
They change little things that, like, in the first book, she was, like, appalled about blood. She couldn't stand blood. It made her sick to her stomach and everything to see blood. And
right.
I always thought that was important, you know.
Well, yeah. And then another thing, they just kind of left out the relationship or the way that the special feeling that Charlie had for Alice. Because he really liked Alice. And you almost thought, hey, is this going to go in a romantic, you know, kind of direction? But it never did. But in the movie, it never even touched on that.
The only thing it is that one where Alice comes back or something, and she's like, you like Alice? And he's like, yeah, I like that one, or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember how
never...
it is. It's just like one line of dialogue of how much he likes Alice over Edward.
Yeah. But I think that would have been something neat. But then, of course, then you would have wanted Charlie to be with Alice and not Jasper, and it would have created a bunch of conflict, I guess. But
yeah.
But I thought it was important.
Well, see, I thought it was also important. I would love to for her to write the backstory of Alice.
Yes, that would be, yeah, because Alice, I think Alice, like you were just talking about supporting characters, I think Alice is much more interesting than Edward.
Yeah, I really love Alice. But I like Alice and Edward's connection, because where
yes.
he can read her thoughts and she knows the future. He can tell her, I mean, she can tell him the future without even speaking a word.
Right.
And I just always liked their little quirks. Each one of them had their own special abilities, even though some of them weren't physical. Like Carlisle's compassion and blah, blah, blah. You know, I was reading somewhere that Jacob was just like something that got put in the books.
Really? Because,
yeah.
I mean, the whole story revolves around the threesome.
I know, but see, originally, Jacob was not going to be in there.
Oh,
he
so
was,
funny.
Yeah, I've
well,
got, like, all
of...
she
wouldn't have had a very good series. She wouldn't have a very good series without
him. You always have to have a little bit of a struggle between what you should do and what you want to do.
Right, yeah. And at the end, kind of really enjoyed that he wasn't in love with her. He was connecting with her unborn baby that she wasn't even pregnant with.
Yeah.
I love that connection there. That was...
In a way, that's kind of creepy, though.
It is creepy, but...
But when you think of it in that world, it makes sense. But then if you think of it as reality, it's like, you know, that's just nasty. He's a pedophile. Anyway.
Okay.
You got to stay in reality when you read those books and watch those shows, because if you don't, it'd blow your mind.
Yes. Okay, so what do you do to unwind? You're not writing. What do you like to do?
I play video games a lot. I like watching movies.
Do you get inspired? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Video games?
Yeah, I play RPG games. Those role-play games. And they have, especially the ones from BioWare, like Dragon Age and stuff, they have like a massive story wrapped around all these characters. And it's intricate, you know, everything's awesome. But anyway, I'm a nerd.
Because I know, I'm not much on games because I get addicted to things. And 4 years ago when I was very young, and, you know, we had not the cool games that kids have now, but, you know, even Atari and the first Nintendos, and I was, you know, addicted to Mario, so I tried not to play video games, because that's all I do, I get sucked in, so just like, my games are just no perfect. But I could see how you could, with the role-playing games, I could see how you could get inspired by the characters and stuff, and with movies, because I get a lot of ideas from movies, or even books that I've read before, so do you get ideas from books that you've read? It's easy.
I have 683 hours logged on my computer on Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, my God.
So.
When do you write?
I find time sometimes in between the game playing. See, I played a lot of online when the game first came out. It came out in... November 2014. And I own it on my Xbox 360 and my PC. So I play it on both. So all together, I probably have 2,000 hours of playing this game in 2 years.
That's crazy.
Plus the Mass Effect series. There's 3 games of it, and BioWare made those. They're RPG, they're about space, you know, they're sci-fi.
I just
those are my favorite
two
games.
Any writing done.
I do, in there, somewhere, sometimes.
<Okay. laughs> When the characters in your head overcome the characters on the game.
That'd be cool.
All right, we're...
I was going to say the most character that sticks in my brain still yet. Sometimes I have dreams about Alexander still.
Oh, how funny. Maybe you should write a series from his point of view.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Because he's ancient. Well, he's not ancient, but he's old.
Or
and...
even, not even a series, but maybe one book. PC Cast, her House of Night series, she has written several books from... professor's point of views, a couple other professors' point of views at the school, and it gives their backstory, and it's really neat. It tells how they got to be where they are. So you've got the House of Nine series, and that follows Zoe Redbird, but then you also got some of these side characters, which I hated because a couple of these characters got killed. In the books that I was reading, you know, the main series, but then she comes out with these side books. It's like, oh, I get to read more about them. They're not totally dead yet. So then you get to go back and read their backstory.
Yeah, it's like the Stephanie Myers and the Short Life of Bree Tanner or whatever, one of the vampire girls that got turned in the third book.
Is that the young girl that...
the young girl that they tried to save.
Turned, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason why I wrote the novella, the backstory, was because I wanted everyone to understand Alexander's angst, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and the reason why he does what he does in the next book.
Right.
You know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it works really well. And I
hope.
He's an extremely important character, and yeah, I think you do good.
Thank you.
Okay, Go ahead.
Every paragraph, I mean, every chapter, I try to have something that's imperative to the story and pushes it forward. I mean, it may be like a snail's pace, or it may be, you know, faster, but I try to move the story forward with each chapter and have something significant happen.
Yeah.
That way it's not boring.
Keep your readers engaged, and then keep them on, you know, discovering things in each chapter. It's like, no, I didn't know that. Oh, my God, I can't believe that. You know, to keep them engaged and keep them, you know, discovering things. That's very important. I think it's important advice for any young writer. But we're going to be wrapping it up here in a minute. But before we do, I would like to know if there's any advice that you would give someone who is aspiring as a writer who wants to write in the dark romance genre, or any genre, basically. Is there any advice you'd give them? Any one thing that really stands out?
The only advice I can give is when you're writing anything, let your characters free. Let them tell the story the way it needs to be told. Whether it makes you happy or not, it'll make the story and the readers happy later.
You're right. I think it's very important. Don't restrain your characters, because you're going to stifle so much creativity.
Yep. Because they have a mind of their own.
That's the truth. So how do you get the word out about your stories? Are you on social media? You have Twitter, and you have Facebook. Do you have Instagram or anything else like that?
Have Instagram and Snapchat and all of that. But the main ones I focus on is Facebook and Twitter and I have a Wix website, I think, but it's not very pretty right now. So, yeah, I'm mostly focused on Facebook and Twitter. It's facebook.com/Amy Olinger it's a lowercase writer, you know. So Amy Olinger writer, but the writer is lowercase.
Okay.
And then Twitter is Amy_Olinger. That's
okay, and they can find your books on Amazon?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's it. I mean, I blast it all over Facebook and all over Twitter, so all my links.
Okay, great. So if they just go on Facebook and look you up, they're going to find whatever they need to get all of you or find your books.
Or just look you up and connect the dots.
Connect the dots. Do a little and research.
Plus,
investigative research there.
Yeah, and even if they can't find you or me, they can find Michelle and find us through her.
I've got three ways to find you. All right. Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I look forward to seeing the book released on Halloween, Dragonfly, Birthright, and the Vampire Coven. So anybody that's out there listening, you should go ahead and get the first lot of Amy Weston. It's only 99 cents on Kindle. And then look for Dragonfly Birthright and Vampire Coven to be released on Halloween. And I want to thank everyone who listened tonight or who will listen in the future. And Amy for joining us. And, of course, as always, I would like to thank Michelle for Ron Jordan. Without her, the show would not exist.
Exactly.
Thanks, everyone, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.